Welcome to episode 2 of the Rebel Army podcast. This week, we're going to look back on a very successful opening to the season. We're going to look at the academy teams. We're going to preview the weekend's fixture away in Donegal. And we also have a very special guest, brand new signing, Nathan Wood, is going to join us in the studio. So we're back, episode 2. And of course, I'm joined by Mr. Howie himself.
Back again. Great to be back, isn't it?
Well, we must have done something right anyway. We're back for a second one.
We've made it to 2 episodes. So
listen, we made it higher than that. We've made it into the charts. We'd be top 40.
Yeah, we're 22nd now on the Spotify charts.
Which top 22nd.
Didn't see that coming.
No, I definitely didn't.
Happy days, yeah.
We were even ahead of Gary Lineker and Micah Richards there at one stage. I think we still are, but...
people are coming to the real football experts. Oh, yeah, by the looks of it.
The only people that are ahead of us is Old Ryan and Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher. Ian Wright. I think they're the only ones that are ahead of us, but...
We'll catch them next.
A bit of momentum, just like the team themselves. Brilliant start Friday night.
Yeah, brilliant start. 2-0, probably could have been more, as Jack and Tim were saying in the post-match interviews on Friday night. But yeah, 2 goals, massive crowd.
Huge.
Kind of caught me by surprise, to be honest. Yeah, 5,600 is the revised total.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I wasn't expecting that many. Great to see.
Massive.
But I was looking at the league social media had a thing up. I think it was 10,000 people total at all the First Division games.
We're more than half of that.
Yeah, 5,006 of them were at Turner's Cross.
We did say we're a big club.
We say Cork City are massive. We actually have the facts to prove it now. Yeah.
Proof. I was talking to a few people at the match the other night, and I was thinking back to when I was working with the club, and we were delighted. We played Derry the first game of the season, and we were thrilled. And this was in 2008 to get 4,000 at the opening.
Yeah.
And that was a Premier Division team.
And there was a lot of momentum.
George O'Callaghan, yeah. Danny Murphy and Joe Gamble, and you know, like, it's amazing the growth of football in this country.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And looking back at last year, we opened against Bowes last year, and I think it was a sellout, so 6-7, whatever it was, on TV. I don't know, was it the following week or was it the second home game anyway? We had UCD, we had 4,800, which was class as well. But yeah, 5,600 for an opener in the First Division after a disappointing season where you get relegated. It's a brilliant start to the season, and long may those crowds continue.
And like of that then, Aaron, like you'd have obviously better knowledge being in the club. You know, what were things like season tickets going? Like, I mean, was there a lot of them season ticket holders or?
I don't have the exact figure of season ticket holders we have, but I know that we're above what we budgeted for in terms of season ticket holders.
Yeah, yeah.
We obviously put up last week as well about the match night ticket prices being up.
Yeah,
so they're basically...
A few people upset about that. There was a bit of a difference in price, was there?
Yeah, they're a fiver more expensive if you buy at the Ticket Hut.
Yeah.
What's that? I think it's just in terms of printing the tickets and the operational side of things and, you know, having the queues outside Turner's Cross. Like, you can avail of the online price. Theoretically, if you're standing in the queue and
I was going
you're
to say
seeing,
that. Can you do that?
It's going to cost me €20 if I stand in this queue, or I can pull out my phone and buy it online right here, right now and get it for 15. You can do that.
So a couple of GA, they don't allow any printed tickets anymore.
Yeah, you can't buy tickets at the gate at all. GA matches as far as I know. But like, I saw a couple of tweets of people saying, oh, they don't want cash. If you want cash, it's more expensive. Not really. You can go to the club shop in the week in the build up and get the cheaper prices then. So it's kind of the advance price and the match night price, if you get me.
Is that to get an idea of how many people are going to be there? So did you hire extra staff or something?
Exactly.
Or?
It's like when you know more in advance and you can keep an eye on it on the online ticket platform, you can more closely predict what kind of crowd you're going to get and security numbers and staffing numbers and stuff like that. For the most part, obviously, this week we had a lot more than we were expecting. So, but for the most part,
queues outside as well. I know I was queuing up outside and I was like, whoa, look at the crowds here. Yeah, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Queues, big queues as well at the actual ticket huts, not just the turnstiles to get in. Again, if you get the tickets online, it takes that part out of the equation and you can get in a bit faster. But yeah, €5 more expensive if you leave it to match night and you buy at the ticket outs.
So get them in advance. So that's the message. Like for the next home game, which is obviously not for 2 weeks, but yeah, you know, can you buy them now?
Yeah, tickets are on sale for the UCD game now. You can actually still buy season tickets as well. So if you did want to get them now and just have your ticket for every game, they're still on sale. So you can either pick up a season ticket now or you can grab the UCD tickets. Speaking of season tickets, the women's season tickets are actually on sale as well.
Different
as of this
price,
week.
I think, are they? I saw it online there.
Yeah, €79 for adults and free for children. You still like go through a kind of the purchase page to get the children one because you still need a ticket and a barcode and stuff like that.
A child can't just rock up to the stadium by themselves and say, we're free.
Yeah, there still needs to be a barcode to get in. But they're free. Get them on, they're on social media. They're on the Ticket Co page as well. But yeah, €79 for adults. It's €10 per game. So the €79 is a good saving on that.
That's a good saving, yeah. The growth of the women's game is getting, you know, so big now. I mean, we were talking about our attendance. You only have to look at the Women's Super League in the UK at the weekend. Arsenal and Manchester United was a sellout. I think a record audience or something. Katie McCabe was obviously playing in it. I mean...
Yeah, and even the Ireland national team games as well. Yeah, Atala, selling right, Atala. Yeah. And our crowds were up last year as well at Turner's Cross for the women's games. So it's growing and it's growing fast. And that's great to see. And the more people we get into Turner's Cross for those games, the better.
And we will have proper previews of that closer to the opener. We'll have Danny in probably.
We'll have Danny on and we'll have a proper poster outside the cross as well with the right dates on it.
You need a yellow card for wrong dates. I saw that.
I know. Trust me, it's more annoying for me than it is for anyone else that managed to get up on the wall without being spotted. But I got a couple of
cool
tweets.
It was a cool poster, but like the dates are wrong.
Yeah. Do you know what? It's the same poster for the men's and the women's team. It's the same template, just with the info edited.
Yeah.
The teams were edited, the crests were edited, the dates weren't. Now, I think I did edit the dates. I just don't think I saved the one with the edited dates. But yeah, very, very annoying that got up. But replacements are ordered. That'll be fixed ASAP. And I'd like to thank everyone for pointing that out to me on Twitter and sending it to me.
Am I right in saying that when you design the posters as well, sometimes you do a stream of it as well?
Yeah, with the match day graphics. Yeah.
Match day graphics.
Most Thursday nights, the night before a match, do a bit of a live stream on TikTok when that's being made.
Yeah.
And we get City fans of other clubs. There'll be fights going on in the comment section there. But it's kind of not a structured thing. I do it when I have time to do it on a Thursday night.
Colin was telling me, he was saying that you were after creating it or whatever, but he watches him. And I was like, oh yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's something I started kind of, I don't know, was it last year or the year before? The odd time.
Yeah.
And there was a good number of viewers. Like there's times you'd have a couple of hundred watching. And it's kind of the way I look at that is if I was looking from the outside in at another club or whatever, that's the stuff I'd like to see. So I kind of provide that for someone else. And there's decent numbers on that watching that. And it helps in terms of people can suggest a player for the match day graphic or suggest what they want to see or what they don't want to see. And so we did that last Thursday. Good numbers on that and a nice match day graphic to kick off Friday then.
So when the match is live, then obviously Jack gets two goals. Are you straight away looking, getting your laptop out and getting designs ready?
They're all done in advance. The photo shoots we do at the start of the season with Sportsfile, they all do a couple of celebration poses. So I get them done in advance to do it. There is a couple of times during a season where a player will score and do a cool celebration or something where I grab that picture then and update the graphic with that celebration.
Would you get that picture from Doug or someone?
From Doug or Kev or Sportsfile or anyone who's there.
Yeah.
That happens a couple of times. To be fair, the ones from the photo shoot with Sportsfile are good as it is.
Yeah,
you know yourself, sometimes a player in a moment does a funny celebration that the more we can get out of that, the better. Yeah. But those are all done in advance. I actually, sometimes for the players who will get, you'd expect to get more than one goal in a season, I kind of do two or three different designs so that it's not, say if a fella gets a hat trick, it's not the same picture three times. And I only had one ready for Jack and of course he scored twice on Friday. So, but I'll have to,
get
I think
more,
he did two or three celebrations in the photo shoot. Yeah. So I'll have to update a few for Jack.
I think the big talking point on Friday night though was the youth. Like it was what everyone was talking to me about anyway. I think they were blown away by the fact that there was a 15, 16, 17 and was an 18-year-old on the pitch.
And a 19-year-old, five teenagers, like, Tim was here last week telling us how he puts his faith in his young players and he's not afraid to play them.
He was giving us a clue there last week. Yeah. He was really talking about Cahill and Jaden in particular.
And five teenagers on the pitch, which is mad. And the confidence of the players as well. Like when Jaden came on and trying a bicycle kick into the shed. The confidence is ridiculous.
Went in, oh my God.
Oh, crazy. Yeah, if that had gone in.
All over the place.
If that had gone in, that would have been...
Broke the internet.
Insane. So. But to be fair to Tim, he was here last week. He told us he was going to play young players and he not just played young players, he played a lot of young players.
Yeah.
10 Turner's Cross debuts in the squad. Keane Coleman was the only player left from... the playoff in Tala, for example, from that starting 11. Yeah. So it was a very, very new City team.
Yeah.
And
a different vibe too from the side of the pitch, I felt.
From the dugout?
Yeah, like Tim was very, I know he had one or two kind of goals at, you know, the Kerry players.
But I saw
there was
that,
a bite in him or something, wasn't there?
Yeah, you like to see that as well from a supporter's point of view.
And it was spreading onto the pitch as well. The players were up for it. And
exactly.
I think some supporters said that to me as well.
when there's a bit of bite and a bit of fight, it adds another layer to the atmosphere and to the enjoyment of the game. So
not that we're encouraging any discipline or anything.
Of course not.
But no, definitely a hunger.
Yeah.
You know, you know, that kind of, maybe they were listening to Brian O'Sullivan and talking about being hungry last week.
His inspirational speech.
His inspirational speech.
He rallied the troops and fired up the squad.
They were definitely fired.
I think the big crowd and the atmosphere spurs that on a bit as well.
And getting an early goal kind of too, like in the first half, the early thing kind of got the crowd going a bit too, didn't it?
Yeah, and you know what? The sort of mood on social media the last couple of weeks was that, oh, we've only scored once in pre-season, where are the goals going to come from? Yeah. So to kind of do that in the what was it, 10, 15 minutes in.
That's all, like, yeah.
To get a goal early on sort of allays those fears a bit. And great goal as well, actually. Both goals were very good. But the first one was a great finish.
The second one was kind of clever too. You know, it was a nice little goal.
John O'Flynn was on commentary on the stream and he was calling it a toe poke. He was calling him Tozino. We'll have to get Flinny back on the commentary as well.
Yeah, we'll probably get Flinny in here or something.
We can.
Great stories, I'd say.
Oh, I'd imagine he'll have great stories.
But I think it just spreads optimism,
exactly, yeah.
And it must also give some of the other younger players that are in the academy this kind of say, whoa, if we're good enough this season, we could get into the first team as well.
Exactly, yeah. And it's something like the academy has produced players to the first team for years, but I don't think there's ever been, you know, four players who would be eligible for academy teams on the pitch together at the same time, which is, it's brilliant. And as you said, it gives that motivation to players in the academy as well to think, that can be me in 1, 2, 3 years.
And I know we're going to get Liam in to chat with us next week to talk about the boys' academy and how that's been going, because are they kind of kicking off again now at the moment?
Yeah, the boys' academy games are kicking off this week. We have Liam penciled in for next week, as you said. So the under-20s are at home to Cove Ramblers in Bishopstown on Saturday.
Oh, Derby.
Good Derby to kick it off. Yeah. The 15s are away to Waterford. Then on Sunday, the 17s are away to Limerick. The 14s are at home to Wexford, also in Bishopstown. So back to business for them as well this weekend.
Yeah, big weekend. So a lot of fixtures there. Like.
And we'll get Liam in next week to not only review those games and how they went, but sort of a look ahead to the whole academy season and obviously get his insight on seeing his players from the boys' academy stepping up into the first team and doing so well on Friday night as well, and hopefully doing well this Friday night as well.
I thought it was quite clever, actually. I saw Liam put up a post on LinkedIn, you know, because the football people don't tend to put stuff up, but it caught the attention of a lot of people. It kind of stood out. He put that graphic that you had of the five lads,
yeah.
And he was saying proud of the guys. I think he might have put up Sunday or Monday morning or something like that. And getting huge response from the football kind of community around, saying, you know, really exciting times for Cork City. And then you see the likes of Frank Omer on the bench for
Crystal Palace last night.
With Jaden's brother.
Exactly, yeah. You know? Another fellow who came through the academy and was playing for the first team in the first division in 2022. Yeah.
Not to mention Jake O'Brien is flying it over in Lyon.
Exactly,
With the likes of Matic and Lacazette and all these guys.
Dejan Lovren is the other centre-back. He's been in Team of the Week over there. And
playing against Mbappe.
Exactly, And Marco Mani at Brighton as well has been in and around the first team. So, yeah, there's some incredible players have come through and are still here, but have also gone abroad as well.
They must be doing something right out in Bishopstown.
Definitely. Anyway. It must be one of the most successful academies in the country,
I think we're getting close to the stage where the Irish team could have 11 starters from Cork.
We can have a Cork national team as well.
We might break away, you know.
Maybe someday. Yeah.
Speaking of Cork, we better congratulate Killian Murphy as well. Since we're on, this is one of the rare few Cork podcasts, so we might as well say congratulations for being the first Irish-born actor there winning at the BAFTAs.
Yeah, 100%. I don't know if he's much of a football fan or a Cork City fan, but we'll definitely try and get him to the cross at some point if we can.
Well, I saw in an interview that he did with one of the magazines, I think with GQ, he did a big interview with them, that he brought his son off to a game in Liverpool. No, it didn't say what team, but I'm saying, okay, that means he's into football.
Okay.
So we need to get the young fella down.
Yeah, we make contact there somehow. Yeah. We get
the grandparents still live in Cork, so we need to make sure that we get him out.
We can get
we'll wait till he gets the Oscar.
Exactly, yeah. We'll bring him in then. We'll have him on the pitch at halftime.
Halftime.
We get Doug on standby there for the pictures at halftime. But we get a couple of Cian Murphy, where he's 24, so we get a couple of Murphy 24 jerseys.
Murphy 24 on the back, yeah. But so I suppose we're also going to be looking forward to the week ahead. We'll probably talk more at the end about that in terms of Finn Harps as the next fixture. But I think it would be nice to maybe bring in our guest. I think he's waiting outside.
He is. He's arrived. I can hear him there outside. So yeah, we've Nathan Wood here this week after his debut at the Cross on Friday.
He was a bit of a fan favourite already. I think a bit aggressive on the pitch. He was winding up some of the Kerry lads.
He was, yeah. If he talks here as much as he spoke on the pitch on Friday night, we'll get a great show. But yeah, I suppose it's time to bring him in now.
Delighted to be joined in episode 2 of the podcast by Nathan Wood. Welcome, Nathan.
Thank you so much for having me.
Nathan, baptism of fire, front of a fairly big house in Turner's Cross on Friday night. What was it like?
Unbelievable. I didn't really know what to expect, to be honest, in terms of the number of the attendance, but blew my mind to think that there was 5,600 there. So yeah, it was unbelievable, and hopefully they can come back now for the next game and keep it going, and hopefully we can do them a service on the pitch as well.
When I saw you were coming in today, I was kind of saying, how we get a long podcast out of this guy, because I saw you talking a lot on the pitch. I think you were winding people up, yeah?
I know, yeah, to be fair. I think I surprised myself, I think, Friday night. I was itching to get a goal, and I think the last 20 minutes I was a little bit frustrated that I didn't score myself. But no, I do talk a lot on the pitch, and hopefully I can use that constructively. And yeah, as long as it doesn't affect my performance and the team wins, then it's a win-win.
Take me back a bit. The accent, whereabouts in the UK is it from?
So I'm from Wales.
Okay.
Yeah, from Wales.
So are you actually a Newport lad?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a Newport lad. Played for Newport Academy growing up.
Yeah.
Left Newport at 16, then went into like the Welsh leagues then at 16. Experienced senior football, which for me was probably the best thing that could have happened for my career.
Yeah.
Coming out of academy football and then going in and experiencing some pretty ropey pitches and some pretty physical tackles and challenges, and just being around the environment, a men's environment. I learned so much about myself, about football, and I just went and played senior football for a few years, and then I went into the Welsh Premier League then about 3 or 4 years later, and then ended up signing back for Newport County as a professional footballer then on my first professional contract in the summer just gone. So yeah, it's been a bit of a crazy journey.
But Newport's academy, are you still in school when that's on? Is it like the academies of the bigger teams, or how does it work, you know?
So they will be in school. So the academy start from probably similar to here.
Yeah.
What is it? Under eights, under nines. And then, so they'll be in school, and then they get to a point at 16 then where you'll sign a scholarship. And then you will do your education alongside your football, which will be like, you'll do like a qualification to fall back on. If you don't manage to get a first year pro or a professional contract at the end of it, you've got your education. And then, yeah, you'll do that alongside whilst playing, training, and hoping to go and kick on and get yourself in the first team.
What was your backup?
So I'd done a year in a college program, and then I went back into my A levels. So I left after a year.
Yeah.
So I was a year behind in school, and then I went to my A levels in school, and then I went to university then for 3 years. Whilst playing in the Welsh Premier League for Penybont, which is Bridgend. Really loved my time there. And probably, again, Rhys Griffiths was the manager at the time, was probably the best person I could have had for my development at the club. And then, yeah, went and signed a professional contract then in the summer just gone. So
you have a backup. Have you university qualifications? So
yeah.
Football doesn't work out in the long run.
So I got a degree, yeah. So I managed to do it probably the right way around.
Yeah.
At the time, it felt like professional football was probably a million miles away. But football's got a funny knack of turning around very quickly. And thankfully, I come out of it with a degree, with A-levels, a degree, and also a professional contract. So I can't complain. And I'm loving my time playing football full time. It was always a dream. It was something I wanted to do growing up. And I know how hard it is to juggle kind of like a part-time job and a part-time football career, and that's really difficult, getting up for work at 6 a.m. and some boys don't know how blessed they are, but I know how lucky I am to be in this environment and to do it as a job, and I'll work as hard as I can to make it last as long as I can.
And the Welsh Premier League, what's that like? Is it similar to what you've seen in the first division? I know you only played one match, but what kind of level is it at?
It's a really, really good level. I mean, you get TNS to win it every year, pretty much every single season. But then in and around that, you've got some really good clubs that that are pushing to qualify for Europe. When I was at Pennebont, we managed to qualify for Europe in my last season, and that was always the goal. From the day that I signed, it was as soon as we stayed up into the Welsh Premier Division, it was we got to get Europe. And as a collective, we had one or two, three or four come in along the way, but for the 4 or 5 years I was there, the core group was the same. And it was probably one of the biggest things that I've done in football, was to qualify for Europe with that group coming from the league below. Because there is a lot of, like, the budgets are quite big in that league, and Pennebont wasn't blessed with the biggest kind of budget. So we had a good group of honest boys who worked hard. We had a good manager, good staff, good assistant manager. And we managed to get Europe and finishing in the top three. We had two, we had a Welsh Cup final, Welsh Cup semi-final, lost both to TNS. So it's a really good level. It's physical. And hopefully the league can kick on and again, Haverford West done really well in Europe this year. So it is a good level, and they are representing themselves in Europe and doing the country quite proud domestically.
That is the advantage, I suppose, of staying in, because obviously you have Newport, you have Wrexham, Swansea, Cardiff are all playing in English football, but the odds in them getting into Europe is quite slim. It's hard. Whereas TNS get in every year, and there's a huge, you know, opportunity for players to get to play in countries all over the place, you know?
And I think that's the pull. I think if you were to speak to some of the boys who have gone, obviously I had to sign for Newport that summer, so I didn't manage to go to Europe with them. But if you spoke to the boys that went, they'd tell you it was probably the best couple of weeks that they've had in football. And it's a great experience to travel around different countries and play against teams that you wouldn't usually play against in a competition that you would never have expected to play in. So it's a great thing. And hopefully Pennebont can get there again and Wales as a collective can represent themselves well in Europe, just as well as TNS and like you, Shamrock Rovers have done well in the past. And yeah, so it's a great pull. It's a great thing for players in that sort of, in that level to go and experience.
Are Cumbrian Town still in the Welsh League?
Who's that?
Cumbrian Town, are they still there? No,
I don't think so.
Yeah, I always remember them because when Cork City won their first league title back in 92-93, got into Europe, into the European Cup then, before they called it the Champions League, I think. And in the first round, we played the Welsh champions, which were Cumbrian Town. We beat them at Turner's Cross.
Really? Yeah.
So it was, I think that's the only time we've ever played a Welsh team.
Is it?
Yeah. I can't remember. I could be wrong. No, I don't think we've played another one over the years. We've got teams from the North, got teams from Cyprus, you know, Holland, France and so on. But that was the one French experience, which is over 30 years. So who knows? Wow. Maybe once we get back up to the Premier Division, we might get another French team in Europe in the future.
Well, this time in 2 years, when we've gone back up and we won the First Division, we'll see where we're at then.
So when you went back to Newport, there's an Irish manager in charge there, is there?
There is, yeah. So Graham Coughlin signed me from Pennebont. And yeah, he's Irish, yeah.
And is there a lot of Irish players there, or is, you know,
we've actually got Ryan Delaney. I think Ryan was at Cork, wasn't he?
Yeah, centre back with us, when we won the league last time.
What a guy, really good guy. We got Shane McCoughlin as well.
Yeah.
Who's Irish as well. Two really, really good players who are flying at Newport. So it is quite well represented. We got a young lad we've signed from this year, Josh Seabury as well. There are a few Irish boys. The accent's familiar to me anyway.
That's good. You don't need a translator. It must have been fantastic to go back then. So after, I presume, was it a case that you walked, was it you were released, or did you walk away when you were 16?
It was kind of, I needed a contract. I needed to have that sort of like a level of financial stability, not the highest level of financial stability, but I wasn't going to stay, not be involved in squads just to wear a tracksuit. That's kind of never been my philosophy as a person or as a player. I'll go to the level where I've got to play. So I left kind of, they didn't offer me a contract, so I wasn't going to stay so I went back into my A-levels. I kind of thought, I think at 16, like I was in and around the Cardiff squads and when I was younger, and that was hard, obviously getting released as a young kid, but I think the Newport one at 16, 17 was a lot harder. I thought that was my last chance, really. Do you know what I mean? You never really hear of anyone going back into a professional environment at 24, 25.
Yeah.
26. So I kind of thought, well, I'm 17 now, like no one goes back in. Once you're out, once you fall out of the system, it's so hard to get back in. And
because there's always new younger players coming through, which that's is it. A difficulty, I'd imagine.
Yeah, that's it. And you've also not got to be good. You've got to be better than what they got.
Yeah.
So it's like, I just never expected to do it. So I went on and just enjoyed my football. It was never football I fell out of love with. I know a couple of people who have been in similar positions in the past just think, oh, I don't want to play football anymore. It was never that. Like, I loved football, and that was probably what got me through, was playing football rather than the politics and the environment of it, which is easily to fall out of love with, because it can be quite, when you're young and you go through expectation and pressure of being released and not being good enough, it can be quite overwhelming sometimes, especially when you're growing up. But I had good parents, good family around me just to encourage me to keep doing what I love to do. And 9 years on from the summer, so the training base where I got released from was the same training base that I went in 9 years ago and signed the deal. So it was a bit surreal. It was a bit mad. But it was just an eye-opener that if anyone, I just wanted to be an example. If I could do it, then anyone can do it. If you work hard and you apply yourself and you don't look too far ahead, because I'd never have thought that I would have ended up at Newport 9 years ago. But bit by bit, little by little, you get to where you deserve to be and where your hard work will take you.
They're obviously impressed with your performance in the league, in the Welsh Premier Division last year. So somebody was keeping an eye on you, I'm guessing. Were you aware of that? Somebody scouting you?
There was a lad who left the league. So they've started doing, I'm not sure if you've heard of it, it's like a Wales C game versus an England C game. So how they do it, it's like the best of the Welsh Prem go and play against the best of the English National League South/North. Yeah. And then they'll go and play a game. One year it'll be in England, next year it'll be in Wales. And I was in the squad and we beat England 4-0, which obviously Wales and England was a big result for us, just to show that we can compete with the likes of the National League and the National League South and North. And like, those are professional clubs and full-time environments where only TNS in Wales are full-time. And there was only maybe 3 or 4 TNS lads in the squad. So the majority of our squad, 80% of our squad, was part-time. And we were playing against probably 95% of full-time players in the England side. And we beat them 4-0. And there was a lad, Will Evans, who scored 2 that day. He started, I was on the bench that game. And he actually got a move to Newport the year before. And then the year later, I was in the Wales C squad again. And then I got a move to Newport the next year. So I knew that if I focused on playing well and I focused on scoring goals and being involved in goals and working hard, then I knew that the league would, there was credibility growing around the league. And it was, if Will could get a move, then why can't I be the next one? And thankfully we both got our move, and he's flying out at Newport. I think he scored his 23rd goal on Saturday. So he's gone and kicked on again, and fair play to him.
So the Wales C team is actually a great idea. So in many ways, because it nearly puts people in the shop window for the bigger clubs in the English Football League to have a look at.
That's exactly it. And I think the last 2 years, I think England have gone and boys have gone and signed and gone up leagues, and that for them too. But for Wales, I think the last 2 years, 2 boys have signed professional contracts off the back of it. So it's doing its job. And it's a great platform. It's a great thing to look back on in your career, to have a cap at semi-professional level. It's a great idea. It's a great thing. And if anyone can be involved in it and represent your country at any level, is obviously a great thing as well. So, obviously it's a showcase game, and if you do well, you can go again.
Well, it must be great to put on the Welsh shirt though at the same time.
Yeah, it is.
And where did you play the match?
The first match was in Caernarfon up in North Wales. Yeah. And then the second match was in Altrincham in Manchester.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So, it was fairly full house, good crowd. They play in March. Actually, the game is next month, I think. I've seen on Twitter. So there's another one coming up. So I like to keep my eye on the Welsh leagues and my old teams and stuff. And so I'll be watching that, no doubt. And hopefully whoever it is next can go and kick on and do the league justice, because it doesn't get the credit it deserves. It's a difficult physical league, and everyone knows it is the one that TNS win every year. But there are good players in that league, young lads coming through that can go, I know, are good enough to go on and kick on and go again. And yeah, it's a good league.
The Welsh FA has another Cork City association as well. I'm not sure whether you're aware of this, but the chief executive used to be a goalkeeper for Cork City. So Noel Mooney used to be
Did he?
Yeah, yeah. So the current chief executive of the Welsh Football Association, I remember seeing him play in front of the shed. He spent most of his time as the subkeeper. If he's listening to this now, no apologies, but you are subkeeper most of the time to Biscuits. But went on to great things, was the head of marketing for the League of Ireland, and then went to UEFA and is now CEO of the Welsh Football Association. So there's lots of little tie-ins all over the place.
There is.
Cork City has its impact across the UK and definitely in with Newport and Wales and stuff like that as well. So Newport, had they grown as a club by the time you had come back in terms of like size? Because obviously there's a lot of money floating around those leagues nowadays.
I think Newport would make no like kind of secret that financially they're not the biggest, like they're not blessed financially, but being a Newport lad, I know that they work hard.
Yeah.
Their fan base, their support are there every single week as well. They know what they expect from you as a Newport player. And that never changes throughout management changes or player changes or anything like that. It's just something in the DNA of the football club that you've got to work hard, and that's the bare minimum. And so that was always, I knew the expectation to play for Newport. I knew how lucky I was to play for Newport. I'd been as a 5-6-year-old watching them in the National League South, and with my dad and my brother over in a different stadium. And then obviously when they went into the Football League, they had to change their ground to have a bigger capacity and stuff. So I would watch Newport growing up regularly with my family, and I knew that. And then when I come back, they'd always had good FA Cup runs. Newport are famous for the FA Cup runs. And in the time away, they think they drew Man City, they drew Tottenham, they drew Leicester, they drew Brighton, they drew, they had a couple, Portsmouth, they've had some really big draws, Leeds. And I was just thinking, who are we going to get in the FA Cup this year? And then lo and behold, we drew Man United. But that was the thing for me, was that I knew what Newport expected. I knew what the expectation was. And I knew that the fans were going to get behind me as long as I conducted myself properly and as one of theirs. And yeah.
I was like feeling when you went back out onto the pitch, like making your senior debut for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Great feeling. I scored on my full debut, on my first start. I scored against Cheltenham. And it was probably the best feeling that I've had in football. I think like scoring for your hometown club, on your first start, it was just unbelievable. And then you hope you can kick on again. And I played a couple more games in and around that. I loved it. I love playing for Newport. I absolutely love it. Being a local lad, like I said, and hearing the fans chanting your name and stuff is something that you don't, like I probably wouldn't have got that to another football league club unless I'm scoring 20, 25, 30 goals a season.
Yeah,
but when you're a local lad, they'll get behind you, and it means the world and meant the world as well. So I love playing for Newport.
And when you're playing in a forward position for them as well, or like where were you getting your game?
I was playing a little bit deeper for Newport. I was playing as an eight, eights or tens. They kind of play one sitter and then two in front.
Okay.
So I was kind of playing a little bit deeper for Newport, which was a position that I was trying to learn as well. Obviously in the Welsh Premier League, where I got my move from, I was playing as a front three. I was playing like left of a front three, or even like just behind the striker. Or if we played a two, I'd play up front with a two, or even off the right at times. But generally speaking, I'd play off the left of a front three, and obviously coming to Newport, going to another level and then trying to learn another position, a little bit deeper, playing against players that have played 400, 500, 600 appearances in the Football League. It was a challenge. And, but it was, I love a challenge, and my whole career has been a challenge. So it was nothing that I was going to shy away from. But obviously I wanted to play more football. I wanted to play regular football. And I felt like this would have been the next best opportunity to go and develop my football career and come in here. And I don't regret it either from a personal perspective, and coming away and moving from home to a new country. And you grow up fast. And then also on the pitch, that I want to go and help. I want to go and score goals. And I know they're ambitious. And I know it's not just about, I want to win this. We want to win the league. And that excites me, and something that I want to be a part of.
So before you left, there was two big matches, wasn't there? Did they have to put in a new stand in Newport? The local rivals came first. Am I right in saying that?
That's it, yeah. So we had, we drew Man United, I think, early January in the FA Cup. So we knew they were coming. And in and around that fixture, we had Wrexham, Wrexham first, Man United second, and then Swindon third.
Yeah.
So Swindon's only an hour, just over the bridge.
And
so,
it would be a big enough club too. I mean, they were in the Premier League at one stage. Yeah. So they'd have a lot of away support, I'd imagine.
So Swindon and Man United, I think they were all sellouts. I think we managed to sell, I think Man United game, I think we probably, if we could have played at Cardiff City Stadium, I probably had sold it out. But there was 10,000, not just short of 10,000, maybe 9,800 there. Same for Wrexham.
What are the feelings like towards Wrexham then? Is there a jealousy with being, you know, Newport have been in the league for a while and then Wrexham kind of come up out of nowhere all of a sudden and have Hollywood behind them?
Yeah, I think there's always been tension between Newport and Wrexham for as long as I can remember anyway. Newport, when they got, when they went into the Football League, they beat Wrexham in the playoff final at Wembley. So that was always like a little...
That was brilliant.
Yeah, it was. And obviously, since they've got their back in and that, they've flown at the leagues and there is a level of expectation where they feel like they're going to go again and again and again. And I think Newport are like, do you know what? No, actually, it doesn't matter sometimes financially that we know we're not the blessed the most in terms of financial, but what we'll do, we'll fight and we'll make it really difficult for you. And I think in the first game we played just before Christmas, we lost 2-0, but we had chances in the first half that if we took, we could have gone on and won the game. So we knew we were nothing to be afraid of. We played Brentford earlier on in the season and gave a good account of ourselves, drew 0-0, lost on penalties against Brentford. So we knew like we're playing against Premier League sides and League One sides in the league as in like the cup competitions as well. So we got nothing to shy away from here. We knew they were better at home under this support than they were away. And we're also better at home than we are away in terms of our crowd. They are just as loud as theirs. And we beat them then 1-0, which was unbelievable for us. And like just a reminder and kickstarted probably. Well, the boys are flying now. Yeah. I have been watching. And,
bit of a boost to their confidence.
Yeah. I think they're only 2 points off the playoffs. So what's stopping them going on and winning games and going to do a job there as well? But yeah, like I said, I think it gives the boys confidence. We got and beat Wrexham and then we had an enjoyable week then to go and play Man United. But the week before we had Wrexham, we had Eastleigh. So we were 1-0 up against Eastleigh at home in the FA Cup. And then they had a really, really soft penalty to equalise 1-1. And then... So it was 1-1, it went to a replay and then the draw was the next day.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So we had a replay and we're like, oh, Man United, like no one spoke about it. It was like, just beat Eastleigh.
Yeah, like what happens in the dressing room then? I know Graham was a big Manchester United fan as well. And he had, in all his career, supposedly, I saw the interviews on the BBC, he had never come across them in his playing career or managerial career.
Yeah, I think, like it's crazy really. I think, so we had Eastleigh, and then we drew with Eastleigh. We should have gone through automatically. And then they had a late penalty that was really soft, never a penalty. And then it's gone to a replay. And then the draw's the next day. And then we've drawn Man United. And we're like, oh my goodness gracious me. Like, this is wild. We're thinking, oh, why did we go to a replay? Anyway, no one really spoke about it, like between staff and players. Like the players would speak about it in groups and stuff. But it was never really addressed. It was like, we know we got a job to do and we'll go and do it. So then we went to Eastleigh, won 1-0 up after 2 minutes. And it was like, breathe. And then there was like so much on the game. I think we took maybe 500, 600, 700, 800 down to Eastleigh. Newport fans went down in their numbers and whatever. So they sold out their allocation.
And they're a few leagues below you. They're
one league.
There's only one.
League. Yeah, the National League. And this, the National League could easily come up and, well, National League, Eastleigh had knocked out, I think they knocked out Reading.
Whoa.
Yeah. Who were League One.
Yeah.
So they were no mugs, do you know what I mean? Yeah, they were a good outfit.
You weren't just automatically expected to beat them.
Exactly, yeah. So we've gone there, we've gone 1-0 up, and then it's 1-0 up at halftime, and I think we've come out half, this lad has scored a worldie for Eastleigh, and I'm thinking, oh no, like this is not what we needed. And then thankfully the boys have kicked on and we've won 3-1, and then we're in the hotel afterwards and it's like this big sigh of relief. And I was chatting to well, in the build up to the United game, I think Joe Dunn, who is also Irish, said to us, he was like, I've been in the game 24 years and I've waited 24 years for this moment to draw a top four side.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, it's my first year as a professional footballer.
Frustrating.
And if someone had said to me, I'm a Man United fan since for as long as I can remember, 5-6 years of age, been to Old Trafford, playing for my hometown club for Newport. If someone said to me, what's your dream game? It would have been Newport versus Man United. And I'm my first year in a professional environment and I've managed to draw Man United and at home at Rodney Parade in Newport as a Newport lad. It was surreal, really. And I don't take for granted how lucky and how blessed I was to have that opportunity, because I know they had to come by in people's careers and people could have played 400, 500, 600 games in the Football League,
yeah,
and still not had the opportunity to play. So yeah, it was crazy.
I know you only came on at the end, did you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I was itching to get on. Yeah. I was like, oh, please come on. But yeah, no, I did. And I can't remember how long it was, maybe 7, 8 minutes, 6 minutes or something, but it was 6 minutes that I probably would have taken at the start of the season or at the start of my professional contract anyway. So just to go on and share a pitch with some of the best players in the world and players that I've grown up the last probably 5-6 years watching.
It's kind of pinch me moment, I'd say. To be on the same pitch as global superstars in many ways.
Yeah, it was. It was surreal. And I was always a little bit nervous. I was always like, because obviously I'm a Man United fan. Mm. They say, don't meet your heroes, don't they? So I was a little bit like, oh, I wonder how they're going to be, but don't disappoint me because I'll end up supporting someone. No, I wasn't there. But no, they were brilliant. They were really good. The way they conducted themselves on the pitch, off it, especially with the kids, with the fans, with the shirts, with like the merch. They were brilliant. They were really, really good. And
did they swap jerseys with you?
They did, yeah. I was in the dugout actually. And one of the lads asked Bruno for his top. And I was next to him and he was like, so Bruno give one of the boys his top, and he was like, I want yours too. And he was like, you want this? And he was like, no, of course I want it. So he took it, to be fair. And
yeah.
You see Bruno on the pitch and you see his arms flying about and you think he's a bit of a baby, but he's a what a guy. Like the way he conducted himself, like I said, with the young fans and the kids and with us, and photos, whatever you needed, tops, shirts, been brilliant. So no, they were brilliant.
Did you get any jersey?
I did, yeah. I managed to get Ericsson's.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad one.
I mean, he's had such a brilliant career, like.
Yeah, he has. Yeah, and his story, obviously, of his heart failure on cardiac arrest and that. So yeah, no, it was a good for me. Obviously, a shirt is a bonus, but.
But that's, as a Newport fan, and as you said, you're a Manchester United fan as well, like that's obviously going to go up on the wall somewhere anyway. It's framed already.
Yeah, it will be going up on the wall. I don't know. I didn't have a chance to take it with me. I was literally...
But how you
it all happened so quickly coming out here. So I'm sure it's still head on my bed somewhere, like stretched out under my pillow or whatever. But no, it will be going up on my wall. And it was great. It was a great moment for me and something that, I mean, I can take to the grave now seeing that I've played Man United as a Newport lad. So yeah, brilliant.
So it wasn't long after that you get the call to come here. Like, how did that come about?
So I wanted to play regularly.
Yeah.
I knew that was something that, like I said, I've always just wanted to play football. I've never really been okay with, like, I think that's saying it for any footballer. They get frustrated when they sat on the bench and I'm 26. I'm not getting any, just turned 26. I'm not getting any younger, and football's a short career at the best of times. And I know how hard it is to kind of, from where I've come from, I didn't want to just sit and be okay and content with not playing. It's a difficult career to get in terms of longevity. And I want to give myself the best chance to wherever football takes me, to go and have a career in it and experience things. And, I had a call, I think it was like the day before the transfer window was closing, and I was in the gym, and he's like, how'd you feel? I was like, yeah. And then I rang the manager and he was just like, no, obviously him being Irish understands the size of the club and the league and the standard of football. And he was like, brilliant. No, I completely understand your frustration in not playing. Go and like you, the way you've conducted yourself, go and enjoy it. Go and enjoy the experience and go and play regular football. It's what you want. It's what any footballer wants. And go and have a great time. And so I went with his blessing and the club are flying and I can't wait to kind of see how well they do from now till the end of the season and how well we do here with Cork as well.
And had you ever been to Cork before?
Never.
Had you been to Ireland before?
I played Ireland when I was a under-18s Wales schoolboy, but that was the only time when we played them over here. I'm not sure where it was or anything like that in terms of location, but no, I've only ever been once for a game, so I didn't really get to see anything. So when I had the call, it was like 6 o'clock in the evening. I spoke to the gaffer at Newport around 7:30, went to the club to sign the papers. I was on a bus to Birmingham, 8 o'clock in the morning to fly out to be here for 10 the next morning. So within 12 hours, I thought I was staying at Newport to ended up being in court. So
did you Google it or anything like say, where's this place?
I followed them on Twitter and I was like, 40K followers, that's wild. And then I realized the size of the club when I got here. And when they picked me up, when the staff picked me up from the airport, the first thing he said to me, this club is massive here. This club is massive here. And straight away I knew that there was an expectation and there was, the club is a big club. And yeah, I was really looking forward to being a part of it. Like 5,800, I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a bit like, it's a big crowd. It's not far off Newport's
crowd,
is it?
It's not at all. It's not at all. And I don't really know the average of Newport of getting, but probably between four and five every week. Obviously, like I said, the Wrexhams, they had nine and that with the stands and stuff like that. But generally speaking, I would imagine the average is not far off the same as that. So, yeah, so it's something that obviously any footballer wants to play in the best environments and the best atmospheres. And that certainly plays a factor here as well.
And how have you settled into training and things like that? Have you made pals?
I love it. Yeah. So to be fair, it's a great dressing room. The boys are brilliant. I thought at first there might be a bit of a language barrier and might not understand me, but no, it's brilliant. We've got a really good group of lads. The lads I was living with originally were brilliant, made me feel really welcome. And then the lads I moved in with recently have been great as well. So yeah, I feel at home here. I feel really settled. I feel like it's a great platform for me to play good football. To get game time and win games of football. And that's something that is why I'm here. That's the reason I'm here, is to play football first and foremost. And the rest will fall into place off the back of that.
And the standard so far, you've played, you know, obviously against Kerry. What, like, how did you feel playing that match? Like, what was the standard like?
I think I said on the way coming down, I think one thing I've realised here is when teams play Cork, it's like their cup final.
Yeah.
It's like, so we have to raise our game as well. Yeah. It's not like, oh, we can just turn these over today. There's none of that. Like, you know that it's big for us, it's big for the fans, but it's also big for them as well. And so I knew that they were going to be, I'd heard that they were struggled last year in the division and stuff, but first game of the season, everyone's up for first game of the season. There's always an expectation. There's an expectation on us to just blitz the league from the bookies. And we know that we can't just rely on that to go and wing it. That doesn't, unfortunately, bookies odds don't win us games.
No.
So we knew we had a job to do. We knew we had to conduct ourselves properly. The staff made sure we did that. The boys are already on top of that anyway. Training was good leading up to it, and has been good since. So, we knew we needed to win. We knew we needed to win and quite convincingly. And I feel like
probably could have got a few more maybe on the night as well.
Yeah, we probably could have. And I think probably 3 or 4 games later, we probably would have scored 4 or 5 more, but no, the main thing was the 3 points. We kept a clean sheet. There was so many positives. There was areas to work on, which we'll do going forward. But no, I'm really looking forward to it.
And just looking at you tonight, you have an aggressive style of player. You kind of keep at people a lot, do you?
Yeah, well, like I said, I've never really played as a 9 consistently. I've played there on and off and filled gaps and stuff. But like, I enjoy just playing football and being anywhere on the pitch going forward is something that I feel comfortable with, whether that's dropping in a 10, drifting out wide, whether that's just running, chasing down, closing down and that sort of thing as well. And winning headers, whatever it takes. And I just want to play football and I'll give my best wherever I play. So yeah, that's what kind of player I am.
And there was a lot of young lads playing with you the other night. What did you make of that?
Honestly, I think for the club, I think it's a blessing in disguise, them going down, because I don't feel like the lads would have had the game time that they'll get this year and the development they'll get this year to go and kick them on in 4, 5, 6, 7 years time, because the likes of like you said, Cahal, top player, going to be a top player.
16.
He's going to be a top player. And I think him playing week in, week out, getting smashed, getting kicked, struggling to make his way in the game and thinking, I haven't touched the ball for 5 minutes. That's part of development. It's not about playing for the 18s and dribbling past everyone and scoring 5 goals. I think you'll learn so much this year for his career and his development. And I'm really excited to see where he'll go in the next 5-10 years, because he can be whatever he wants to be.
Tim kind of said the same on the podcast last week. Yeah.
Did he? Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously it's, you all see it out there, you know, such a young talent, but having the bravery to get about the pitch as well the other night, unbelievable.
Yeah. The confidence. And I've been that 16-year-old lad playing men's football as well. And like, I just know sometimes you feel like the seniors can get on your back a little bit. And I don't want to be that senior now going into my 26th. Yeah, 26, being nagging and moaning at players for not making the right decisions. Just go and express yourself. Go and keep doing it. If I moan, if anyone moans, just keep doing it.
And there's no rush as well. Like, I'd imagine they could learn a lot from you. I'm not saying that, you know, they have to wait years and years, but there's always a route back.
100%.
You know, so, I mean, if they take their time, they could still reach to the top levels.
And I think I probably underestimated how much I learned by coming down and in those environments where the pitch is horrendous, where I don't feel a part. I'm 16 and there's like a group of really close 27, 28 year olds. And I'm 10 years younger than them. And I don't really feel part of that environment and part of that group. But you're there for football, and then you learn so much about, like, I want to be this technically good footballer that gets at people like wide as a 16 year old, but I can't get the ball. I've got to go and find the ball, or I've got to find a way to impact this game. And times you don't do it, but that's part of learning. And then other times you learn that, right, I'm going to have to roll my sleeves up here and get stuck in a little bit, because no one's just going to give me the ball now. Like, this isn't that sort of environment. And when you realize that, that when you can put the two together, that natural, like that technical ability and those moments where you can win games for your team and you can get stuck in, like you've seen Cahill do Friday night, it's a win-win and the sky's the limit for the boy.
Oh, it's an exciting season ahead, but I'd imagine you get the great thing about playing in the first division as well. There's teams from literally all parts of the country. You're going up as far as Donegal. You'll go to Dublin, you go to the West. You know, there'll be a lot of different things happen so that you'll get to see the country as well.
Yeah. And that was something that, like I said, like first and foremost, I'm here to play football, but to experience a new country, to see different places is something that obviously also I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And like I said, seeing the country so far, it's a really lovely country. Reminds me a little bit like Wales here, actually. Coastal and yeah. So obviously an opportunity to get to see that as well is a win-win, and experience the new culture, different people, different places. And obviously winning games in the process is what dreams are made of.
You getting around the town so far? Have you been out and about? Have you been out in the city with the lads?
Yeah, we have. We've gone to our favourite breakfast place pretty much every other morning. We've been just for coffees, for walks around the shops and stuff. So I've managed to get about a little bit, but I feel, like I said, on the way down, I feel like there's so much more to see. So,
have any young supporters spotted you yet? Might be early days.
No, not yet.
What?
Not yet. Not yet. So we'll see.
We'll see. As speaking of supporters though, so we put out, and we did it last week as well. So we've asked some supporters to send in their questions for you. So okay. They knew that you were coming on. So the first one comes from Daniel, and he said, what did it feel like playing in front of a packed out shed?
Like I said, I didn't really know. I knew that the club was big. I knew that the support was good, but I didn't really know how much. I walked past the stadium on the Thursday, might have been a Thursday, and I went in, I was like, oh, how many were you expecting? Oh, maybe three or four. And I went in and it was like, it's more than that here.
Yeah.
It's more than that here. And
it was nearly full house, to be honest.
Our changing rooms are just below the shed. And like, we're in the changing rooms hearing them chant and way and bang away. And I'm thinking, oh, I just want to go and play. So it was unbelievable. And obviously I didn't really know what I was getting myself in for. It was the first ever game that I'd been there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I loved it. And hopefully, like I said, they can continue to come out in their numbers and get behind us. Because if it's like that every other week, it'll be an unbelievable atmosphere.
So Will has said, who's the best player you have played with?
The best player that I've played with?
Good question.
It's a good question. I think it would probably be there's a few good players at Newport. I think Shane McCoughlin's probably going to be up there. He surprised me coming in. He's only little, but he's some player. I watched him play against Man United and he was so comfortable.
Yeah.
He probably could have ended up signing for them, I thought, on the day. He was unbelievable.
So
Shane could be there. Will's obviously flying now. Scott Bennett's made, 400 or 500 appearances in the Football League. Aaron Wildig has played in the Championship. Omar Bogle has played in the Championship. And I think he was even involved with Cardiff in the Prem. So, yeah, there's some really, really good players. Sean McDonald, when I was at Pennebon, Welsh international, played for Bournemouth in the Prem. So, yeah, I can't pick, but there's a load of boys there that if I could have half the career they've had, I'd take it now.
And you probably have to be careful as well in case they listen. you might have to go back at some stage.
They're all unbelievable.
Tim is saying, what did you say to wind up the two Kerry centre-halves on Friday night?
Oh, I can't remember. I can't remember, to be honest, but I think he wanted my shirt, so I might have offered him my shirt after the game or something, but he was pulling it and whatever, so I know he was giving his fair share of fouls away, so I might have just said he can have it after the game if he wants it.
An interesting one from Robert. How many goals do you want for the season?
Well, my loan contract's till June, the end of June, so what are we now? We're
midfield.
What's that, like 5 months? Let's say eight and a half a season.
Yeah.
8 goals, 8 assists, 16 goal involvements in half a season. I've myself, and I've stitched myself up now. So 15 to go.
It's a pity we don't have a fancy league. Maybe that's something the League of Ireland need to sort out in the future. We definitely be getting into the squad if that was the case. Jamie's asking, what teammate have you settled in the most with so far?
I think, obviously off the pitch, I spent a lot of time with Brad and Evan. Being my housemates. But honestly, I get on well with all the boys, and Jack on the pitch, I felt like I clicked with, connected with, even off it in and around training. Obviously we don't live together, but I feel like that could be a connection. Obviously him for me for him, assisting and goals, and I know where his movement's going to be, and I feel like he knows where my movement's going to be. So on the pitch I'd say Jack, and then off the pitch I'd say Brad and Ev.
And the last one from Josh, what's your personal goal for the season?
Win the league.
Win the league.
Yeah.
So even if you go back to Newport, you can come back and get your league medal.
I'll be back here the day they finish the season, and no doubt this won't be the last one. When I leave in June, it won't be the last time I come to Cork for sure. So I'm looking forward, just as I'm looking at Newport now, I'll be looking at Cork just as closely as well. And hopefully they can, when I go, they can go and win the league and I can come back over and get the medal.
Let's hope both clubs get promoted this
absolutely.
Year.
Absolutely.
Thanks a million, Nathan, for coming in.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Best of luck for the rest of the season.
Top man, thank you so much.
What do you think of that?
I really enjoyed that as well.
Wasn't
hearing
a straightforward backstory, sure wasn't it?
Not really, and hearing, you know, the perspective of a childhood Newport fan playing for his local club against the other club he supported, Man United, that was only a week before he signed for City as well, which...
It goes to show that though in Wales, isn't it, that there are similarities to here.
Yeah, he said, he even said straight away from being in Cork, 2-3 weeks he's here, straight away he sees the similarities with Wales and he feels at home here, which is great to hear.
Yeah.
But
similar size crowds and everything.
Yeah. There's obviously Wrexham who attract a bigger crowd, not only at their own stadium, but when they go to the away grounds as well.
Yeah.
But
they're in a different, you know, that's a movie type of thing. It's a documentary on Disney.
Like, stratosphere to League Two at this point.
We all know that they're going to go up and up and up over the next couple of years.
Exactly. But it was really interesting to hear how he ended up here. Five or six days after playing against United, how he managed to get himself Christian Eriksen's jersey as well, which is
unbelievable.
One of the best ones you can get, I think.
Yeah.
After what, like the Eriksen story, as he touched on.
I mean, it's the Eriksen story is one of the best kind of, there's a film in the making of that, I think, in the long term. You know what I mean?
Definitely,
back, literally, he was clinically dead nearly on the pitch.
Yeah.
In the middle of a European Championship game.
And to be able to come back and play at the level he's playing at and to move to even bigger clubs than where he was beforehand.
And then for
incredible.
Him to wait his, you know, he's 26 and that was his first time getting to play against Manchester United, but playing for his hometown club, it's like Ryder Rovers type stuff. Like it's
exactly like he said, it was his first year in football and he got to experience that. And I think he had a teammate who was in it 26 years.
I never did.
And he'd been waiting for that
moment.
For
a top four team, he said.
Exactly. Yeah, and Nathan,
in the grand scheme of things, has been there 5 minutes and got to do that and got to experience that, which is great.
But even to hear that he played for this Welsh C team as well.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, it's like that. I suppose it's a bit like the amateur teams and stuff over here, the international teams getting eyes on those players as well.
Yeah, I know, and they have teams that have the players from the Munster Senior League and stuff.
Yeah.
They used to have a League of Ireland team, but maybe that's something that the FAI need to look at again.
100% could be worth looking into then, yeah.
Was it Paul Ozam or something a couple of years ago had a kind of a B team that was the League of Ireland? They should be up against
100%
the Welsh League, and then
it gets eyes on the players. It gets more people talking about League of Ireland players as well. Yeah, it was interesting to hear that as well, and that he's been to Ireland before. He doesn't even know where he was, but he just knows he played a match in Ireland. Yeah.
No, I think people will get a lot out of that, and I think he's going to be a bit of a fan forever. Who knows? I know he was saying he'd go back in June, but you never know.
And he set himself a target there now as well. He wants eight goals, 8 assists. He has 1 assist to his name already after Jack's goal on Friday, but
I'm not good at the maths. Like I don't know how many fixtures we have between now and June. There must be, what is there, about 12 weeks in it? Is there maybe more?
About that, yeah, maybe a little bit more.
Probably playing most weeks.
Yeah, well, look, he's fair play to him if he does it. We'll definitely take the 16 goals there from somewhere.
I mean, he'll definitely get us on the way to that First Division title if he's getting that many goals.
And as he said, if he does leave in June, when his loan is up, he'll be back over for the trophy presentation at the end of the season. So. Yeah,
definitely. And he'll be welcome, definitely, as a result of it.
The one thing we never asked him, I just thought of it there, we never asked him what was the bigger achievement in his career, playing against Man United or signing for Cork City a week later. That would have been a good one, because we know the answer. We know the answer.
Well, come here. One thing we didn't do at the start of the podcast as well. What about this Howie out and about? Where did you go this week?
I didn't have to travel too far this week. We had a home game at the Cross. So we caught up with Tim and Jack Doherty afterwards. So I have a bit from Jack there about the size of the club and stuff like that. But I also spoke to City boss Danny Murphy. The women's season is kicking off in just over 2 weeks. They're at home to Piemont. We have just announced Colleen Kennedy, the signing of Colleen Kennedy. So she has played in the States, played in Iceland. She's played for a lot of clubs.
Yeah.
She's based in Cork now. Danny spoke about what he sees her adding to his side.
Yeah, no, look, it's experience. Look, she's got the experience of playing at a high level. Just even her being around the group and some of the things she speaks to the girls about, and she'll add, there's a lot of value to what she's going to add in terms of her. She's direct in terms of the way she plays, and she'll add a little bit more pace to us as a team. And like, there's quite a lot, really, to be honest. It's like she's the experience is probably the biggest thing that she's going to bring to the team, and it's not in terms of age, it's more in terms of the quality and the level she's played at, that she'll be able to help some of the younger girls develop and give them some understanding of the things they need to do better within the games.
Will you be hoping she'll be one to chip in with goals as we go on?
Yeah, no, look, we need to score more goals as a team, and like, I've had a conversation with a few of the girls now, you know, Ellie and Eva and Aveen, and you know, SF forwards like Christina Dring and Laura Shine, like, they need to be coming up with more goals in the season, and it needs to be 5 and 6 goals, not 1s and 2s. And we need to be trying to, all over the team, score more goals, set pieces, and from open play as well.
Yeah, sounds exciting. New signing, I think, by the sounds of Danny there, it's all about experience.
That's it, yeah. Similarly to the men's side, he has a very young squad.
Yeah.
So bringing in experience is something that was key for him, and he set down a bit of a marker there for the other girls as well to chip in with more goals. So that's a good one,
obviously. Yeah.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of goals scored last year. I think the top scorer was Fiona Bradley. I can't remember how many she had. Yeah, he's basically just saying he knows that they need to score more goals as a whole, and whether it all comes from one player or more players chip in with them, then yeah, goals are goals. So
she'll obviously get a chance to settle in before the opener in 2 weeks' time.
Exactly. Yeah, I think she played in a behind closed doors friendly last week. She did well by all accounts. And the girls as a whole, the squad as a whole, did well. So yeah, they should be pretty much ready to go in the next week or so, and that'll tie in nicely with the kickoff against Piemont.
And did you say you got an interview with our goal scoring hero from the Cross on Friday night as well?
We have his post match interview from Friday. Yeah, we do those in the boardroom at Turner's Cross. He just sort of spoke about his two goals and how incredible the atmosphere was and the size of the club.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. The fans, that many fans at a game, and the first division was crazy. Like, just shows how big the club is, you know. And look, it's happy days. We got off to a good start, 3 points. That's all that matters when you come into a game. Your first game is to get off the mark straight away, you know, and it's nice to get goals as well, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say that every striker like wants to score goals and hit the ground running. Like, just talk us through your own goals tonight, Jack.
Yeah, I can barely remember, to be honest. But
good control for the first one. Was it good crossing the right?
I had a similar one last week against Bowes where I kind of dropped like that and just tried to hit the target. And once I went in, I was happy to get that first one off me back straight away. You know, it's kick on now from now, you know.
Yeah, they showed great composure there for the second one.
Yeah.
Good feet.
Nate, when I seen Nate slipping in, I thought he was going to keep going. But to be fair to him, he pulled it back to me. And I tried to just commit the defender and he happened to jump when I faked the shot and just hit the target and I went in happy, you know, delighted.
So it looks like, similar to what Nathan said, the crow definitely spurred him on a bit, I think.
Exactly, yeah. Even you heard Trevor Welch ask him there to talk us through his goals. Barely even remembers him. It's just that the 90 minutes was a blur.
The moment, I'd say so,
yeah. And even going back to Nathan's interview earlier on where he said he feels a good relationship developing between him and Jack on the pitch. Brilliant. Jack is talking about there, you know, himself and Nathan for the second goal.
Yeah.
So yeah, the more that develops, the better for the club. And if last Friday was anything to go by, they play well together. So the more goal involvement between the two of them, the better.
What about last week's guest, Tim? Was he happy with the performance?
He seemed to be happy. I have a bit from his press conference as well. So
really happy. It's off the back of a long off season. There was a lot of hurt last year with the club going down, and it's a long, long time from Tallaght Stadium against Waterford to tonight against Kerry. So we were really looking forward to the opening fixture. Especially being at home and listening to get a 2-0 win. Jack gets two good goals and we also keep the clean sheet is massively important as well. So, happy.
Much different looking kind of Cork City starting 11 to last season. There's a lot of youth in there.
Yeah, there is. And there's a turnover in players. And obviously your best players when you get relegated will attract attention elsewhere. And they lost a few really good players. And we've obviously got some more players in. But yeah, it's a different type of look. But listen, it's the same objective. It's my job to come in here and try and get this club back to the Premier Division, and that's the first step in it tonight is a win. Can we improve? Yes, massively. There's a lot of areas that we can do better in. But I think as the season goes on, as players settle in and we all get to know how we want to play and be effective in that structure, I think we'll improve.
You definitely get a sense of, you know, this is still very early days for him. He's still trying to get the players to get to know each other, or you know, that he's confident that they'll get better as they move forward.
Exactly. Like he kind of said there, you know, the performance as a whole on Friday, he was happy with for that game, but he knows that they can do more again and kick on even further from that. And as you said, yeah, the more weeks that pass, the more the squad beds in together and gets to know each other and gets to know how each other play, they will gel more and hopefully there'll be more goals to come. And as Nathan said in his interview, looking back at that game from the player's point of view, you know, it was the first game of the season, the first real time a lot of them had played together in an environment like that in a big league game. You know, he said if it was another 10 games into the season, there might have been another 4 or 5 goals. So it kind of hammers home that as well, that, you know, once they do get used to playing in league games with each other, that things will be more comfortable, the performances will improve even further from how they have.
So that brings us on to the next match, the long trip up to Donegal.
A very long trip. Yeah. We haven't had to do this trip now since 2020, I think was the last time we were in Ballybuffet for a men's first team match. A long trip, as you said, traditionally a difficult place to go to.
Do they go up on the morning or the day before?
I think they're going up the day before. I think the squad go up the day before, but it's one of the harder trips in the league. It's longest, pretty much tied with Derry in terms of how long it takes to get there and how long it takes to get back after the game, more importantly. But hopefully that goes well. Tim, we'll have the press conference with Tim tomorrow in Bishopstown. That'll go out where he'll have an update on the squad and stuff like that. But no injuries from last Friday at the cross that we know of. So hopefully the squad is all good.
And people can watch it on a stream anyway at the weekend.
Exactly, yeah. It's one of the trips that some City supporters will make the trip, but it's that long that it's much easier to watch that one online. So yeah, that'll be televised. Well, it'll be broadcast on LOI TV as per usual. If you have the season pass, it's included. If not, I think it's €7 to buy a match pass. But
You can buy them per match as well.
You can buy them per match as well, €7 for a match pass. But at this early in the season, it's still better value to get €120 for the season pass, which covers men's first team, women's first team, and the other Premier Division games that we have. We won't be involved in, but you can watch them as well anyway.
Will you make the trip?
I'll be going up. Yeah. I've only been to Ballybuffet once actually, and I enjoyed it up there. I think it was a 1-1 draw in 2020, but not looking forward to the spin, but I'll be there all right.
Yeah. We're on last week's podcast there on Spotify, if anyone, and thanks again for all the subscribers as well, which is brilliant to get so many people subscribing to the after the first episode. We put a poll out, put up a question What's your favourite jersey?
We did. We wanted to get a sense of what jersey people liked the most so far. The third kit was running away with it for a while, but the home kit actually ended up winning.
I wonder, was that after seeing him in the flesh on Friday
Possibly,
night?
Possibly, yeah. It did. It was my first time seeing it. We've worn the preseason kit in the preseason matches, so yeah. It was my first time seeing it on the pitch in a match, and I thought it looked class. But yeah, in terms of, there was a lot of votes on the poll. There was a lot of votes on the Instagram poll as well, which tied into the panel in the City Edition match program. People gave their opinions there as well. The writers gave their opinions on which jersey they liked the most. And I can't remember which was most popular there, but it seems so far that it's the home jersey, and the sales reflect it as well. Because
yeah, how are the jersey sales going?
We've sold more jerseys this season, of this season's jerseys, than we did in the entirety of 2023.
Whoa.
So it's up massively, and we're on course to double, if not more, the amount of sales, which is brilliant.
You get a lot of people, I wonder, as well, by the jersey that maybe only go to the odd match, and you know, they love the idea of just getting the home team. Like,
yeah, there's a bit of that. There's a lot of people that I've seen, a few that I know actually, that have only started coming in the last year or so, and you know, they're at the match, they've got the jersey, the scarf, the hat. So a lot of people buy a couple of bits of merchandise just to show off their colours, and they're going to a match basically. But yeah, it's encouraging, the number of jersey sales. There's a good reaction to all three, so people seem to be enjoying the designs and stuff like that, which is great. And there's added pressure for us now to outdo them next year for next year's jerseys. So the planning has already started there. So
yeah, and no sooner as you have one success did you have to move on to the next.
I know,
one,
yeah. And know? In terms of like for ordering them in, like it's, you know, you could be waiting a couple of months. So we have to get the ball rolling on that now and get the designs ready. We're nearly there. But we'll get the designs ready and sent off to the suppliers and get stuff delivered in as soon as we can.
And hopefully that would be a Premier Division jersey.
Hopefully, yeah. We'll be back in EAFC, hopefully, if we went back up. So we'd have a couple of nice jerseys in the game as well.
Yeah, that'd
hopefully.
Be cool actually to see that as well. Yeah. It's a pity we're not going to be in it, obviously, for the...
In this kit, yeah.
In the next edition that comes out in September or something.
Yeah, it's you know, by then we could nearly be getting promoted, or any team could nearly be getting promoted,
funny, yeah.
But you're not in that game because it's kind of working a year behind. It works on kind of, you know, the European league system, so... August to May or whatever it is, whereas we're February to November, so we're kind of, it comes to us halfway through a season and takes up half of the next season as well. But look, we'll be back in the next one, hopefully.
Well, we'll definitely be back here next week anyway. And if you're listening to this, don't forget to press the old subscribe button, because you'll get a notification, whether it's on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts as well.
We are. We should be everywhere you listen to your podcasts. Yeah. And if you're listening on Spotify as well, and you can leave us a rating, that would be ideal. We got a couple last week, which helped us with the charts position. So if you haven't already and you can leave us a rating, that would be fantastic.
And in fairness, people have been very nice to us. I had people come up to me at the cross on Friday tonight, you know, some lovely comments and stuff, and they said they've enjoyed it. And what we're trying to do here is kind of give a bit of an inside look at what's happening at the club, and more in-depth interviews with kind of players and people associated with the club as well.
Exactly, it's just sort of a look behind the curtain to what goes on at the club. And as you said, the reaction has been good. Even speaking to Louis and Porrick here at the Crown Centre, where we record the podcasts, they've been delighted to have us here and to be using the facility.
Which again,
we're very thankful that the setup here is incredible, and we have all this equipment at our disposal, which is great. And it's a great partnership for the club to have with the Crown Centre. But the reaction, like, they've had good feedback, we've had good feedback. Long may that continue.
And we learn as well. And we know, look, last week's episode was a long episode, but we wanted to do that as an intro. This episode will be a bit shorter.
Exactly. We're not going to be near the 2 hour mark last week. Maybe for a bumper episode if there's a big celebration or something, but that was just to kick it off.
Preview. Yeah.
Exactly, a big preview. Yeah, that was just to kick it off last week. So we should be maybe just over an hour this week, and we'll be there or thereabouts every week, hopefully.
And apologies as well. I think I was very heavy breathing in last week's podcast. I don't know. I thought I sounded like Darth Vader when I listened back.
He was inhaling the mic at some point.
So I pulled back from the mic a bit, so we'll see how it goes. But listen, feedback is important. So throw stuff in there. If you're even, you know, any ideas, questions, you know, the Instagram questions there. No, we're loving that because we can take screenshots of all the questions coming in and ask people.
100%. Yeah. Like, tell us what you're enjoying and tell us what you're not enjoying.
Yeah.
We said it last week, this is going to be an evolving thing. This will change as we're going. And we're sort of learning here too as to what works and what doesn't work. And yeah, if you have any suggestions as well, send them in to either the Cork City account or myself and Stephen on Twitter or Instagram, and we'll take everything on board.
So thanks a million for listening, guys. And we'll see you next week.
See you next week.